and it's difficult to choose just one. We are so lucky to have them all. I think they are all great, and they are all great. All right, the youth of the year has a good heart, and these are also comments that came from some of the members about the different youth, and I pulled their comments. The youth of the year has a good heart. This person takes part in youth events. It is obvious that this person loves the Lord and is faithful to the church and its programs. The person is always very polite and friendly to all. This person sets a good example for the other youth. This person works with a smile. And you have to understand when that, I work these children and they'll tell you, can you do this? Can you do that? And most of the time they all do it, but this individual does it with a smile, or he smiles in front of me. This person's very polite and very faithful. This person seems to support, seems supportive of other youth and always willing to work. The disposition of this person is always happy and enthusiastic, and this person has always impressed us as wanting to understand and know the scriptures, always caring about somebody else, and if they have a personal relationship with the Lord. This person has come to the youth leaders with a concern for many other people and how to help them come to the Lord. Jordan, would you come up, please? Jordan asked me this morning, he says, what do I have to do? I said, you'll find out. Jordan's mom is Jane Hardy, and his dad is Stuart. He attends Knightdale High School. He's a freshman this year. He's the middle of three boys. Now, I'm the middle of three girls. Honey, I feel it. I feel your pain. The baby. Oh, my baby sister's still getting it all, honey.
Mine too.
So, we feel your pain. The first, they think they're the best.
That's right, because I'm the first, and I am the best.
So. See what I'm talking about? That may be why Jordan is so funny. This child is funny. He will crack you up. I don't know if you talk to him. Leonardo, he's a good youngin. The grandson of Billy and Julie Capps. He is one of the funniest guys I know. No matter what we ask him to do, he is always willing to do anything. Loves to work at the chicken fundraiser. Now, these boys, can y'all believe it? They'll stay out of school to work at that chicken fundraiser. Is that not a sacrifice or what? I mean, you know we have to drag them around, away from school. Anyway, I have spent a lot of time with this family, and I just love it. But he is a funny guy, and we're proud of you. And we pray that you continue to be a blessing to all as you grow in Christ. And we love you very much. Would you like to say anything? Would you like to say anything? See that pretty little smile? We have this gift for you, baby, from the youth group. Congratulations. You sure you don't want to say anything? You sure?
Yes,
Mom. Hug Kristen. I know it's hard.
I know.
She's tough, y'all. All right, he didn't want to say anything.
Who's introducing him?
Haley. We're going to ask Haley to come up. Now, have I forgotten anything? Rhonda, Kristen? We're going to ask Haley to come up and introduce our speaker, and he's going to talk for 45 minutes. And me and Kristen are going downstairs.
Okay. Our speaker is the son of Joey and Jasmine Rollins, the brother of Joey and Alex, and he has a sister named Jackie. He likes to work out. He goes to Triple S. He's on the wrestling team and is really good. We went and watched him. He's 16, and he likes to play video games. Our speaker is Greg Rollins.
Thank you.
Hello. All right, sounds good. Okay. I did. I rode the Clayton bus to school the first day of school. It was a big ordeal. Anyways, before I talk, I'd like to say, even though I know the majority of you, I still get, like, the heart beating and, like, the wobbly knees and the sweaty palms just because I, like, really respect, like, what you think of me, which is why I'm so nervous, I guess. But also, when I didn't know what to write about, so I asked my dad, and he was like, well, Greg, just pray on it, and God will tell you what to write about. And I prayed on it, and I was waiting and waiting. Then I realized, patience. I'm waiting. Why not? And, you know, it turned out pretty good. All right, I guess I'll start. Jesus was a patient man, and he is a patient God. Jesus' patience was so extraordinary to the Apostle Paul that it is one of the two main things he emphasized in his prayer for the church in Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Now may the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Obviously, that is a virtue in which Christ excels. We're to have the same patience under all our sufferings and persecutions as Christ manifests under his. He meekly received the contradiction and persecution of sinners, and when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Earlier, Paul urged the Thessalonica church to perform their Christian duties, including being patient as a required priority for those who love God. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. Maybe God inspired the Apostle Paul to put so much emphasis on the essential virtue of patience, because it is such an unnatural way for us to think. It is so against human nature, but it is so much a part of the way God is. The demonstration of patience in a frustrating situation is one of the best indications that our character is being developed through the use of the Holy Spirit. It's part of the transformation, the conversion of becoming more like God. Patience is a characteristic of God that many mainstream Christians often overlook. Christ's mercy toward Saul, who was later called Paul, displays his unlimited patience and mercy, revealing the love of God for a wicked person. God's patience with his people, ancient Israel, is an outstanding example of this elusive virtue. Though Israel turned to idols and wickedness, God pleaded with them to repent and called on his name. He told Solomon. Patience. That's pretty hard when you're like heated up. And, you know, my dad always tells me when I'm like, man, I don't want to wait, man. He's like, Greg, patience is a virtue. And that just makes me even more angry. But when the times when I'm by myself, I remember that saying, and it actually helps me. And I say it to other people, so I use it a lot. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Only a patient and long-suffering God would be able to offer forgiveness after what they had done. Here we see the general process of our calling and conversion, humility, prayer, seeking, that is, trying to be like God and living his way of life, and repenting of and overcoming sin. All of those elements are seen here in this verse, 14, 2 Chronicles 7. This involves a change of attitude from the beginning of the process and that continues for eternity. It is not a state that you reach and no longer have to worry about. It is an ongoing process to develop that godly patience. What is patience? Dictionaries tell us that patience is the capacity, habit, or fact of bearing pains or trials calmly, or without complaint. Two things are involved in this definition. One is being in an unpleasant but common situation, and two, being calm about it. Biblically, patience usually indicates calm, abiding endurance, sometimes associated with wisdom and humility. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and its glory is to overlook a transgression. We have to be patient when things are going well as in times of trial, but our patience seems to be tried more when we are under duress, stress, trial, or persecution. Patience has an element of endurance in it. In fact, it has a great element of optimistic endurance within it. The meaning here is that by our patience, endurance, and faithfulness to God, we will acquire eternal life. This is not to say we earn it, but that we must be developing this quality in order to be considered for eternal life. Jacob is an example of someone who endured adverse conditions without complaining. He was a man who had great patience. His patience required that he serve 14 years for his marriage to Rachel. Afterwards, he continued to serve Laban another 6 years to earn flocks for himself. During this time, he endured fatiguing heat and painful cold. He suffered from lack of sleep. His wages were changed 10 times, and he had to tolerate loss from his own flocks to pay for stolen animals. Man. Yet, through all of this, his lack of complaining is extraordinary. He was a man of great patience and endurance. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. If God does not solve the problem right away, he will at least help us have the patience and optimism we need to cope with it. Patience is one of the virtues Peter tells us to add to the other virtues that should be evident in our lives as the elect of God. It is so important that it helps keep us from falling away from the faith. People with true patience bear trials calmly. God wants us to stand like a rock in the face of adversity. Patient people are not hasty or impetuous, but act with wisdom and discretion. The Bible gives many examples of patience, but God's word also records the failures of some other to exercise this godly trait. King Saul comes to mind, as do the Israelites in general. When we think of patience, we just think of putting up with situations or other people. However, we also need to be patient with ourselves. If we are not patient with ourselves, we will cause ourselves a great amount of anxiety, maybe to the point of losing sleep or hurting our health. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. As we learn to cooperate with him, he will complete his work in us. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. There is no doubt, there is no room for faithlessness. Our patience with ourselves should be based in the fact that he is and will be satisfied with his initially finished product. This work is done through the Holy Spirit, but we have to be willing to access his spiritual power as we submit to his shaping and molding of our character in preparation for his kingdom. The Apostle Paul, in the service of God's work, underwent hardships that we today can hardly imagine, yet he endured patiently and exhorted others to do the same. Psalms 37:7-9. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The servants of God throughout history have manifested this trait of godly patience. Abraham patiently waited a quarter of a century for the son God promised him from his wife Sarah. Abraham's patience is one of the many reasons God considered Abraham his friend. Hebrews 6:13-15. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiply I will multiply you." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. King David, unlike Saul who preceded him, had great patience, which is linked with an unshakable faith in God. David's psalms are filled with expressions of this attitude of patience. From Psalms, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Wait on the Lord, be good of courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope." If we do wait for God, living righteous lives, practicing godly patience and enduring to the end of this age, or to the end of our physical lives, an incredible future awaits us. Isaiah 6, 64:4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. He is a God of righteousness, who cares about the obedience and attitude of his people. Sometimes God's own people are noticeably impatient with the one who shows great long-suffering towards them. The ancient Israelites' lack of godly patience caused them no end of troubles. They saw God's direct intervention for helping miracle after miracle on their behalf. Yet they became impatient and rebelled over and over again rather than trust God for food, water, and protection. When they traveled in the wilderness after their deliverance by God's hand from Egypt, grumbling and impatient marked their character. As we read in Numbers 21, the people became impatient on the way and spoke against Moses. So the Holy Scriptures have a great deal to offer, such as patience and comfort. By studying the examples in God's Word and using His Spirit, we can avoid the mistakes recorded there that the ancient Israelites made. This guy's made some bad mistakes. A Chinese proverb said, "One moment of patience may ward off great disaster. One moment of impatience may ruin a whole life." That Chinese proverb fits perfectly with what Saul did. Saul's one moment of impatience certainly ruined his life. He had other problems, but impatience was certainly a major one. Of course he was faithless and so on. Jesus Christ told a parable about a servant who owed a great debt to a certain king. Matthew 18:23-25. When the servant begged for mercy, the king, in an act of patience and kindness, released the servant from the debt. However, the same servant then went out and cast into prison a man who owed him far less than he had owed the king. What was the punishment for his greed and lack of patience? Matthew 18:32-34. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. The servant was impatient. He could not wait to get that money from those who owed him. What then can we do to develop true patience? Let us look at five ways to help us develop the right kind of patience. 1, we have to stay focused on the ultimate goal. We all have to deal with trials and problems. When we are trying to reason with uncovered spouses or trying to please unfair bosses or struggling to make financial ends meet, it is sometimes hard to keep our minds on our ultimate destiny, birth into God's family, and co-rulership with Jesus Christ of the universe. Here is the Apostle James' advice about being patient and persevering. James 5:7-8. "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." If we consider that 1,000 years to God is like a mere day, consider the great patience of God. We are to emulate the patient is constantly looking towards his kingdom. 2, we have to think before speaking or acting. There is an old saying that fools rush and where angels fear to tread. A person who jumps to a conclusion is likely to end up at the bottom of a cliff. Sir Isaac Newton's 1642-1727 opinion was, "If I have ever made any valuable discoveries, it has owed me more to patient attention than to any other talent." That is so profound. Obviously, he could not have arrived at those discoveries if he had been talking constantly or talking often. That patient attention is meditating, thinking deeply upon things. The society wears us out mentally and physically. We are a tense and anxious people, and this results in irritability. However, we should not allow ourselves to snap back with something that we will later be sorry we said. When we snap back in irritability, how does that glorify God? We should not allow ourselves to dwell on that irritation, or we'll end up saying or doing something that will set a wrong example of God's way of life. 3, we have to look for ways to give of our time and effort to others. Impatience is many times rooted in selfishness. Paul said, "Be patient toward all men." Our small children who cannot always understand an instruction that we give to them can be a challenge to our patience, to say the very least. But why have an example? Our daughter Stacy was acting up when she was
only about 3 years old, and I said to her, "Behave," in a sad, confused voice, she replied, "I do not know how to behave." I thought she was understanding, but obviously she was not. We had to work on that area. It was not her fault, because she did not have the mental capacity to be able to overcome or change what we were telling her. Colossians 3:12-13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving of one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. That is a pretty direct command to us. It is the inspired word of God. We must overlook the shortcomings of others, especially since we have a few of our own. We have to forget ourselves and be concerned with the welfare of others. Number four, we have to work out our conflicts with others. Even an annoying habit that is about to drive us up the wall can be allowed to become a source of conflict. We cannot overlook it any longer. We have to tell the person about it and gently explain our feelings, but we cannot get petty and picky. Just because it annoys us does not mean it is annoying to anyone else. First, we have to ask ourselves if it is just too trivial on our part. The vast majority of the time, it is our problem and how we view it rather than the annoying person's problem. In almost every case, the other person will not have even realized his habit bothered you and will make an effort to stop if you approach him with gentleness, tact, meekness, and sincere, loving concern. We should pray and ask God to grant us favor in the other person's eyes. We cannot let the impatience and resentment build up inside us until we explode into rage or retaliate in some way. We would not be setting an example of godly self-control or patience if we acted this way. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Number five, we have to work with God to develop the patience of Christ in us. Jesus Christ died in a hideous death to make possible a reconciliation to God, and all while setting the greatest example of patience. Hebrews 12:3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Stronger faith is one of the long-term rewards of patience. The Apostle Paul said that Abraham, during his 25-year wait for a son, grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Patience is a reward more quickly than we realize. True patience produces a reward for which we do not have to wait. Our Father in heaven is the God of patience, and he can help us have a mind like this. Romans 15:5. Now may the God of patience and covenant grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Jesus Christ. One of the immediate results of patience is a calm, optimistic attitude that is peace of mind. Also, patience often produces physical blessings, especially when we are working with others. In dating, marriage, child-rearing, or talking with others, the blessing of patience are magnified. Many of those blessings are immediate. Patience will not necessarily make our trials go away more quickly. Neither does patience make the line shorter or the trip quicker. But patience always makes the delay more bearable and most of the time makes the job easier. Patience is much more than the outward action of waiting. It is an inner, mental attitude that helps us to be calm rather than annoyed while we wait. The blessings of patience are not necessarily outward and physical. They are inner and spiritual. These blessings come instantly. As soon as we are patient in attitude, impatience, even if it comes with waiting, cannot produce the mental blessing of peace of mind. As long as we are impatient, we do not have peace of mind. Victor Hugo, author of Lost Miserables and The Hunchback of Notre Dame, wisely advised, "Have courage for the great sorrows of life and patience for the small ones. And when you have laboriously accomplished your task, go to sleep in peace. God is awake." That's it. Thank you.